Matthew 9:35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Victor, and I'm one of the student ministers here at St. Stephen's. It's a great privilege to be here with you, and I've got the privilege of preaching for us this morning. So how about we ask for God's help as we look at his word? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a God who has spoken to us. We pray that you would humble our hearts now as we hear your word and apply it into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when I was growing up in youth group in the West, there were a bunch of youth who were probably twice the size of me and who were quite rough around the edges. You know, their language had swear words and phrases that I never knew had existed. They would shove kids around and they would make their youth leaders' lives a living nightmare. And I remember thinking to myself, man, these guys are just so mean. They're so mean, what's wrong with them? And I would often look down at them and try and stay away from them. But I also had a youth leader who just saw what I didn't see. You know, he saw past their rough exterior and saw that they were hurting and broken inside. That they were deeply lost in their own way, and without a thought, his heart would go out to them. And I'd see this because he would spend time with them, he'd hang out with them, and all of a sudden, in a couple of weeks, he'd become best friends with them. And he was doing this because he had compassion on them. And his biggest longing was for them to know Jesus. Now, why is this attitude of my youth leader important? Well, not only is it because compassion is one of the most beautiful emotions that a human could experience. You know, don't we love it when someone sees another person in need and they do all they can to try and help them? But also, it's because Jesus is full of compassion. He knows this full well. And so today what we're going to see is that Christ's compassion for the lost motivates prayer. And the way that we're going to see this is through going through the book of Matthew. And so let's get into it. We're at our first point now, the compassion of Christ. Christ has compassion for the lost. Have a look with me at verse 35 to 36. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now, these verses show a continuation of Jesus' mission as he goes around teaching and preaching and healing people wherever he goes. And as he sees the crowds, you know, they're full of people who are weak and vulnerable and people who are in power and rich, like the tax collectors. It says that he has compassion on them. Now, this word compassion actually is a very strong, intense emotion. You know, its original meaning is linked to being moved in the bowels or the guts when there's a serious problem. It sounds kind of gross, right? But when my youth leader saw these boys, his heart ached and his heart went out to them. And in the same way, Jesus sees these crowds, his heart aches and goes out to these crowds as he's with and present and amongst the people. But why does he have compassion on them? Well, it says that they're harassed and helpless. They're harassed because, remember, there were Pharisees around them, these religious leaders. And these religious leaders, as we heard from the Sermon on the Mount a few weeks ago, they would tie up these heavy burdens and they would lay them on people's shoulders, which were hard to bear. And Jesus, he describes these guys as being blind guides and hypocrites, because these guys would just tell people to focus on what was on the outside, on the exterior. But they actually never cared about people's hearts or about God. They wanted to be spiritually superior, and so they bossed these people around spiritually because they wanted to protect their own image. And so this leads to the people being helpless with these heavy burdens. You know, they're going around through life with no compassion and no love and no direction from these so-called spiritual leaders. Because these spiritual leaders who are meant to point people to God were actually pointing them to themselves. And so the illustration that Jesus uses here is that he describes this crowd as like sheep without a shepherd. Now this phrase, sheep without a shepherd, it's actually pulling from an Old Testament phrase where God's people needed a leader to guide and care and go out before them. And now just for a quick thought experiment, if you had a fight between two animals, I wonder what animal you would choose. I'm sure that none of us here would choose a sheep because they are weak and vulnerable and they're prey. And so as we think about the picture of a shepherd, we often think of a shepherd as someone who is kind and nice and tender and caring. And whilst this is certainly true, one of the big roles of a shepherd was actually to protect the sheep. They had to guard them against lions and bears, so they had to be really strong. But Jesus says, this crowd are like sheep without a shepherd. He sees past the exterior and actually looks at their hearts. And this sheep idea, it isn't just limited to the Israelites, because later on in John's gospel, he says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they too will listen to my voice. This sheep isn't just the Israelites, but it's actually referring also to non-Israelites, to Gentiles like you and me. And so as we think about our current context here in Willoughby, there are 60,000 people in our 2-kilometer radius. Now, I know that we hear a lot about that at church, but I just want us to pause for a moment to feel the weight of this. And how a majority of these people are like sheep without a shepherd. They may not be harassed like the crowd by these Pharisees, but they're harassed by people and the media who scream out that the good life is one without God. And these people are helpless because they think that they can do life on their own. And that leaves us with thousands and thousands of people, you know, our dear friends and our family, who have never experienced the compassion of Christ and are heading for God's judgment, because their hearts have turned away from God. Now I wonder, if you're anything like me, that we sometimes struggle to feel compassionate for the lost. But why do we find this hard? Why do we find it hard to feel compassion for the lost? I think a big reason is that we can often get stuck in our own world. You know, I know for myself, I can get caught up in my own little bubble, especially as a Bible college student. And I remember having this moment a few months ago when I visited Indonesia. You know, I went for a cousin's wedding. It was spectacular. You know, there were 1,000 people at this wedding. There was a great celebration, great food. Everything was actually affordable around here. You know, my extended family's businesses, they were going well. The families were having a great time. And it looked like they had heaps of things together. But for so many of them, they were lost. They were like sheep without a shepherd, without a care for Christ, and they left God out of the picture. And not only was this bad news for them because they were heading towards God's judgment, but also it was revealing that my heart was spiritually careless at times towards them. And so if we want to grow in compassion for the lost, are we need to remember the compassion that Christ has for us. That when we were like sheep without a shepherd, Christ sought us out and showed us mercy as the good shepherd. You know, he is the one who has sought us out and laid down his life and taken it up again, even when we didn't deserve it. He was gentle with us, even when we didn't want his help. You know, how beautiful it is this, that Christ is the one who has brought us into his fold. And so to the extent that we grasp Christ's compassion for us, the greater that our compassion for the lost will be. And I want to acknowledge that there might be some of you sitting here who might not call yourself a Christian. You know, we are so glad that you're here. But you have never experienced Christ's compassion in this way. You might be feeling like a sheep lost without a shepherd. You might be feeling lost in life or not realize that you are lost. But you know that your heart has turned away from God. Well, I want to invite you to meet Jesus. Because he is the good shepherd who would love to lead you from the valley of death into life with him. He is the one who has laid down his life so that you could have life, even when you have turned away and been led astray. Because Christ has compassion for you and for anyone who is lost. And so as we head back towards the passage, we've seen Christ's compassion for the lost. And you know, I think at this moment, we would expect Jesus to be like to his disciples, all right, boys, let's go along. There's some work to do. But that actually isn't what he does. And so this leads us to our second and our final point, the priority of prayer. Jesus prioritizes prayer for workers. Now have a look with me at verses 37 to 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now here, Jesus chooses to switch metaphors and he pulls on a familiar idea for the disciples of the harvest field. They're kind of like two sides of the same coin, but these people, they're not just like sheep without a shepherd with no cause, but he describes them as like wheat in a harvest field. They're like wheat in a harvest field here. And I want us to hear the encouragement that this is, that the harvest is plentiful. There are people out there who can have hope because of Jesus, but the issue is that there aren't enough workers. Now, as I say this, this might sound pretty familiar to an HR problem. You know, I don't know if you've experienced this at work where there's just so much stuff to do, but there aren't enough workers. You know, if you've never experienced this at work, then praise God that you've never had to suffer by doing two people's jobs. But it can be so hard when there's so much work to do, but not enough workers. And this is the problem that Jesus sees, and his solution, it's quite weird. You know, I wonder when we encounter a problem, our instinct is to kind of figure out what's going on and to try and go fix it straight away. But Jesus does something quite different. He tells his disciples to pray, to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. And I think that we may have heard these verses quite a number of times, but imagine what a shock this would have been for the disciples hearing this. You know, can you imagine they're just like, "What do you mean, Jesus? We're like right here ready to go." But Jesus is saying this to show us the importance of depending on God before going out. Before going out. And, you know, this doesn't mean that doing ministry or recruiting for teams is useless, because that gets answered in the next chapter. But Jesus is saying that one of the most important things that we should be doing is to pray. It's to pray. And these 12 disciples, they end up being the answer to the prayer that Jesus tells them to pray. And as we look at these verses, we might often see these verses as just for people in full-time ministry, paid ministry. But I want us to see that actually all of us are involved in this. All of us are urged to pray to God, to ask him for help for gospel workers. And that could mean going out into God's harvest field ourselves. Because the last time I checked, there were 5 people in our pastoral staff team. And if there are 60,000 people, if I'm doing my maths correctly, then each of them has to reach out to 12,000 people each. But Prash isn't in your workplace. No, Gordon's not in your family context, and Pippi, she doesn't hang out with your friends in the same way that you do. Now, the point is that God uses prayer and his people to accomplish his purposes. And so as the 12 disciples were willing to go out into God's harvest field, so we too must be willing to go into God's harvest field. But why might this be hard for us? You know, why might it be hard for us to pray or for us to be willing to go out into God's harvest field? I think a big reason for this is that we can get into this mindset, this belief that God can, but probably won't. You know I can get into this faulty mindset where I believe that God can do some amazing things in this world, but he probably won't work in some circumstances. You know, he probably won't save my friend who is so far and lost from Jesus. He probably won't help me raise up leaders for this team. He probably won't use me in this friendship group, in this family circle, whose hearts are so hard from God. But this actually is just a revealing, a lack of my own faith in God. And so instead, we need to see that God is the Lord of the harvest. You know, I don't know what you think about God. You might think of him as good and sovereign and kind, and that those are all true things. This is one of the only times in the New Testament that coins God as the Lord of the harvest, because he is the one in control. It's his harvest field, so he knows exactly what he's doing. And in our God, he wants people to know Jesus. He wants people to listen to his voice, and his sheep will listen to the voice of Christ. And this should give us such great confidence, because God is the one in control, and he is the one who will continue to raise up gospel workers for his harvest field. We need to depend on him for help. And so I want to conclude with a story of how God has shown compassion for the lost. A couple years ago at my old church, I knew this guy, and he was just heading to uni, and he was catching the light rail, and he bumped into one of his mates from church and one of their non-Christian colleagues who was working in a pretty big tech company. He was doing quite well for himself. And I don't know if he intentionally knew this was going to happen, but it was coming around to Easter time, and he invited him to church. And then this non-Christian guy ended up coming to church for Easter, and you know, we thought it was going to be kind of those one-time visits at Easter and then see you later until Christmas kind of vibe. But he ended up coming the next week, and the next week. And he ended up coming with my friend, to Christianity Explore, something similar to what we run here at St. Stephen's. And let me tell you, this guy could not stop asking questions. You know, every single week he would come up with his little book full of questions and keep asking them. And we were just like, you know, God, I just pray that you would save this guy so he would stop asking us questions. No, we didn't say that. But you know, our congregation got around him and prayed for him and loved him. And believe it or not, God answers prayer. Because months and months later, God saved him and he chose to trust in Jesus. You know, how amazing is this that whilst our church was praying for gospel workers, he sent this guy to go catch a light rail to meet this non-Christian dude. And the guy who just got saved, he was now heading back into his workplace, into God's harvest field, to tell his colleagues about Jesus. And now he's a youth leader raising up disciples for Christ. Do you see Christ's compassion for the lost? God uses our prayers and his people for his purposes. And so today, we've seen that Christ's compassion for the lost is so great. He is the one who has such a heart for people and wants to lead people into his kingdom. And this should motivate us to pray to the Lord of the harvest to keep raising up workers for his harvest field. Because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so how would I pray for us in light of this? Our Heavenly Father, you are a God of compassion. We thank you so much that when we were lost, like sheep without a shepherd, you sent Christ, the Good Shepherd, to come down and lay down his life for us. Father, we pray that you would help us to grow in our compassion for the lost. And Lord, that you would use our prayers and that you would use us in your harvest field. Help us to depend on you, for we need your help and your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.